Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. 7 days ago, I interviewed a former U.S. Air Force Master Sergeant, Tom Healy, who in his career, he'd listened into the Russians. He was stationed in Vietnam and Tripoli at the Pentagon, and he protected America's nuclear weapons. Well, Tom is also a longtime friend of Bob and Yurt Live. And his oncologist told him that he has perhaps 2 months left to live on this earth. Of course, we live forever with God or without him as we choose. But what an honor it is after last week's program that people have posted on Facebook. They've sent it around the country to their friends and family. What a powerful program with Tom. What an honor it is to welcome back to the show Tom Healy. Hi, Tom. Thanks for joining us again.
Hello, Bob, and hello to your listening audience. I want to talk about three issues now that I'm have leukemia from Agent Orange in Vietnam. And,
wow.
One of them is that, you know, I'm told by well-meaning Christians that I'm going to be healed and made whole.
Okay.
And the second one is that I'm predestined to go on a certain date, and it's not my time, and only God knows.
Oh, okay.
Third one is salvation. And so I'd like to talk about the first one.
All right.
And, some years ago, Madeline and I, my wife, had some very close friends, and we were baby Christians together, and my wife and I, we put away childish things and we grew in the Word, studying under this pastor in Denver named Bob Inyart.
Oh.
And so we grew and our friends stayed in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the first half of the book of Acts.
Yeah, right.
And so as we distance ourselves, there was friction. We would go over to the house, and every time we went over, they would put a miracle DVD in there where somebody went to heaven or somebody went to hell and came back. And,
yeah.
And it was one thing after another.
And you know, hey, Tom, by the way, the biggest story like that is a book. It was a major motion picture. It's been exposed now that it was all a fraud. But anyway, we knew that these were frauds. Without having to hear the details, obviously they were frauds.
Yeah, and that was the one I think that broke the camel's back because they wanted to show us the DVD. And I pointed out to them, well, I says, Paul went to heaven and he came back and he said, I wish I could tell you about it, but it's unlawful for me to tell you.
Right.
So I said, how come it's unlawful for Paul, but it's lawful for the Malarkey family.
Yeah.
Pun intended, Bob.
Yeah, I know.
And so anyway, it ended up that we had to break our friendship. And so...
Well, that's unfortunate. But hey, Tom, here's what I've noticed. When you want to talk about the deep things of the Lord and the scriptures, many other Christians... they cut you off at the point where you really want to talk. And you say, okay, you say that all these miracles are happening. Let's talk it through. But many Christians become angry. And it seems like they shut down the conversation because they feel inadequate. Even though they claim to believe these things, they don't feel like they could defend these things. And so that
no.
So there goes another opportunity.
And so my wife reestablished a friendship with the wife and another
great
girlfriend, and they used to go to Dallas, to the flower shows and stuff. And so this year, my wife had to cancel because of my illness. So she told the two girls, just put another girl in my place, and we paid for the tickets, so go ahead and go, because I'm going to take Tom to the hospital in Dallas.
Sure. Yeah.
And so the one came back, and it's in the miracles. And she said, well, let's cancel because I'm believing that next year Tom is going to be made, he's going to be healed and made whole. And, you know, for your audience, I want to say that I'm losing about 2, 3, 4 pounds of muscle mass a week.
Oh, no.
And
Tom, made whole would mean that those 35, 40 pull-ups you could do and show up those college kids at the gym, that that being made whole. So this is obviously as serious as it gets here on Earth, right? Our eternal life is way more important. But here on Earth, it's pretty important, too, our physical life. And so this gal is telling your wife, Madeline, she's saying, well, I know that Tom is going to be healed. He's going to be made whole.
Yeah. You know, I'd be more comfortable among a bunch of atheists than I am among people like that, you know.
Yeah.
And because at least they tell me the truth, you know, Tom, you're going to die, you know.
Right, of course. Yeah.
And so anyway, my wife, she says, you know, when you guys get sick, you know, when you broke your knee, you called the ambulance, went to the hospital, you and your husband had that organ removed, you know, it was serious. You didn't pray about it. You didn't lay any hands on anybody. You went to the hospital as quick as you could. And, you know, other things like that.
Sure.
And she says, you know, you want to put that the miracle stuff on us. Just have enough faith and you're going to be made up. But you exempt yourself from your own theology.
Well, and Tom, so often it becomes almost vicious because being on the air for 27 years now, I have had so many instances, especially because I was on these charismatic TV networks nationwide. We were on in 80 cities, 5 nights a week for an hour, and people would call me about what happens in their churches when someone is, or they have a child who's desperately ill, perhaps even dying. And then the rumors start going that the parents must have unconfessed sin, that the person doesn't have faith. If they had faith, God would heal them. As though what? All Christians for 2,000 years, they're all still alive? Like one guy's 1,800 years old because he's always confessed his sin and he has faith? They live in a make-believe world of false doctrine and false teaching.
Well, I remember years ago, the wife said to Madeline and I that there was some guy in Florida in his house sunk into a sinkhole and disappeared. And she says, we don't know what terrible sin was in that family, you know?
Yeah, and that's viciously cruel.
Yeah. Well, I said, you know, Jesus, you remember that he used the tower falling on those Christians and Herod killing the Jews. And Jesus said, do you think that those people were worse sinners than did you? No, I tell you, no.
You're right, exactly. And that, of course, was in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. Jesus brings up two headlines like we do on Bob and You're Live. And often at Denver Bible Church on Sunday mornings, where Jesus would take the headlines and he'd teach an important spiritual truth, and he knew that his listeners were superstitious, and that when a tower in Jerusalem fell and killed 18 people, Jesus knew that being superstitious, his listeners would think that they were being punished for their sin. And Jesus blasted them and told them, I tell you no. And you know what's the problem with you people? It's your sin. That's the problem with you. And the same thing when these Galileans were murdered, they thought the same thing. So, Tom, that's one of the passages in the Bible, Luke 13, the first 5 verses that are almost unknown to Christians who've gone to church their entire lives.
And even if they read it, they will interpret it wrongly if it doesn't match their biblical worldview.
Sure, because it's easy to let your eyes glaze over and just go You know, just go to the parable of the barren fig tree right after that section and look at that. But that doesn't make any sense to them either. So then they just keep going. And so, it is a crisis. And I know, seeing firsthand, not only have I studied the scriptures, I've seen firsthand what the healing ministries do on these charismatic TV networks, whatever they are, you know, TBN, Cornerstone, Lacey Broadcasting, where they could not heal if their lives depended on it. They could not heal an ingrown toenail. They couldn't heal a liver spot. And they've never healed anything supernaturally in their lives, in the history of their broadcast networks. God has never supernaturally healed anyone through them at all. It's all the result of false teaching, and it's been whipped up into a rather sophisticated financial scam.
Yeah, and if you don't believe in that, then you don't have enough faith, you know.
Right.
And years ago, when the husband that I'm talking about, he had a healing ministry, you know. Well, he had all kind of ailments himself, you know. So we were over there one day with my grandson, and I was about to leave. My grandson was about 10 years old. And I closed the door, and I caught his fingers in the door, but I didn't slam it hard. And he hollered a little bit, you know, and I opened the door, and I said, "Oh, I'm sorry, Evan, you know, I'm sorry." And so my friend with the healing ministry, he grabs a hold of Evan, you know, scared him to death. "In the name of Jesus, be healed," you know.
Right. Yeah.
And so I said, "He's okay. He's okay. You know, he didn't get hurt. I didn't slam it hard." Mm-hmm. And Evan says, "I'm not hurt, you know," because he's a tough boy. And we got in the car and we're on our way home. And so Evan, you know, he's a pretty smart kid. He says to me, "Grandpa, what was that all about?" And I said, "Well, Evan," I said, "he thinks he's got a healing ministry. But," I said, "let me ask you a question." I says, "his little granddaughter was there, and she's about 5 years old." I said, "suppose that she accidentally cut an artery in her wrist and the blood was squirting over the top of the hood of the car. I said, do you think he would have laid hands on her to heal her?" He said, "No, he'd probably be calling the ambulance."
Right, sure. And then, Tom, we know in the Bible God did so many miracles, including miracles of healing.
Yeah.
But then we enter the time of the epistles. And everyone that we meet in the Gospels who's sick, they all get healed when you meet them, like one-on-one.
Exactly.
In the narrative of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus heals them, they get healed. But in the epistles, everyone you meet who is sick dies. None of them get healed. They don't get healed, and they're sick, and or they die. And if you recall the Apostle Paul, well, why don't you tell? I don't have to tell it. Why don't you tell it, Tom?
Well, Paul, you know, he in the way, you know, and I think that initially God gave Paul miracles in tongues as a stamp of approval that this is my prophet, and you've got to listen to him.
Well, sure, because let me just add, Tom, because God gave to Paul the gospel of the uncircumcision for the Gentiles, and he changed 2,000 years of his command to Abraham's descendants that they must circumcise to now you don't have to circumcise. And then he changed 1,500 years of the commands through Moses that you have to keep the dietary law and you can't work on Saturday and so on. And so Paul's message was so different, focusing on the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that God gave supernatural signs and wonders through Paul that affirmed, they helped to affirm to the 12 apostles that indeed Paul's ministry was from God. However,
And he had cut off Israel.
God cut off Israel, the national covenant with Israel, temporarily, and he turned to the body of Christ, which is Jew and Gentile, until he completes his ministry with the body of Christ. But then, Tom, once Paul started writing the epistles in the written record for the body of Christ, That is where everyone you meet who is ill, none of them are healed. Remember, Trophimus is one of Paul's co-workers, and he leaves him in the city of Miletus. He leaves him sick. And that's
yeah. He said, "I had to leave so and so on his bed near death, and proceed on with my missionary journey."
Yeah.
And the first time I read that, I said to myself, "Wait a minute, Paul, you're bringing people back from the dead. What happened here?" You
know? Right. That was back in the Book of Acts. So when he writes to Timothy, and Timothy's always sick.
Yeah.
And so Paul writes, take a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities. He didn't say, have the elders lay hands and anoint you with oil and you'll be healed. And Paul himself, he had a physical ailment too, didn't he?
Oh, yes. I don't know what it was, but I think, you know, he saw Jesus in his glory, and I think his eyesight was never right after this. I could be wrong, you know, we don't know.
No, but he had a serious physical infirmity, and he would repeatedly pray and ask God to heal him, and the Lord refused. You remember what Jesus said to him in refusing?
Yes. My grace is sufficient for you.
Right, my grace is sufficient. So there is a reason. Unless Christians think that that's all just coincidental, that everyone you meet in the Gospels who's sick gets healed, and everyone you meet in the Epistles who's sick dies, and they never get healed, and Jesus says, I'm not going to heal you because grace is sufficient. First of all, 99% of Christians don't know what we just shared. They never heard it. They never heard it from their pastors, their Sunday school teacher, Christian radio, or the books that they read. They never heard it. But once you hear it, then you have to think, well, this is just a coincidence, or perhaps, as Paul writes, the signs and wonders were given until the fullness has come, and that's the completion of the scriptures.
Yeah, so, when he completed his revelation of the mystery, which was the dispensation of grace, he prophesied that the healing and the miracles, tongues, it would all pass away.
They'd pass away. And these things can pass away, but love will never pass away.
No.
And these things are relatively superficial. I mean, a physical healing is relatively superficial, because regardless of the healing, we all then go on to die and to see the Lord, either in judgment or he receives us into his kingdom. So one or the other.
And the other big thing is Peter says, by his stripes, we are healed. And so I said, well, have you ever gone back into, I think it's Isaiah where he got that. Have you ever read the whole thing? And they say, no. So I said, well, let's go back and read it. And it says that, for Jesus is the shepherd of our souls.
Right. By his stripes we are healed means our souls. It doesn't mean our physical body.
Right, because Jesus could rearrange molecules and heal people before the cross. He didn't have to go to the cross to heal people.
Exactly.
Bodies.
In the Old Testament, God was plenty capable of restoring people's physical health. But without Christ suffering, he could not restore their souls.
No.
That required Christ going to the cross.
That's the main reason. And he did not die on the cross to restore physical bodies.
Well, that's true.
He didn't have to go to the cross to do that.
No, right, exactly. Because, in fact, God healed people, even of, like, leprosy, and even raised people from the dead in the Old Testament before the cross. But before the cross, God could not restore our souls. And so by his stripes we are healed. Even Peter adds, for he's the shepherd of our souls. So it's false to claim that if you believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you will be healed physically. Tom, the televangelist, when they got sick, they'd go on sabbatical, you know, or they'd take a vacation. And they'd go to some country where nobody at the hospital would know them. That's what they did when they got sick, because they got sick like everybody else.
Exactly. And I heard one day, he was young, and he said, I'm never going to get cataracts. I'm never going to lose my eyes. And so some about 10 years later, I saw him on TV, and he was wearing glasses, you know.
Right, yeah, so foolish, huh? Yeah.
Yeah. Tom. And, but anyway, on the way home, I told my grandson, I said, now, if I had broken your finger where a compound fracture, and he knew what a compound fracture was.
The bone sticking
the bone
out of your
was
skin.
Protruding through your skin.
Yeah.
I said, he wouldn't have been laying hands on you. He would have been saying, get him in the car. I'll drive. We're going to the Kaufman County Hospital. So, but they always pray for things that they can't see.
Right. Yeah. And
but
we,
if it's,
yes.
But if it's blood squirting over the car or the bone is sticking through the skin, you know, viciously broken, and they don't do any praying over stuff like that.
Yes. And Tom, I've been to churches where they've said that we're asking God for a sign and we're not going to leave until he gives us one. And when I've heard that, you know, I've been a Christian since 1973. When I've heard that, I've thought of Matthew 12, where Jesus said, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. And it was people like Herod who said to Jesus, oh, I'm so excited you're here. I've been wanting to see a miracle. Will you do a miracle for me? And it's for good reason that the Bible says it lists the names of the cities where Jesus did most of his miracles. It says three cities, and those cities did not repent. And then he went to Nazareth, where they hated him. And they said, hey, do the kind of miracles we heard you do in these other cities. And he refused. And they were filled with wrath, and they tried to kill him, as you recall.
Yeah. And, you know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, you know. And I always use this as a very good example. Is you take Rahab, you know, she's the prostitute in Jericho, I believe.
Rahab.
And so the spies are up there, and now she's got a lot of travelers coming through her business there, and she says, I heard what your God did to Egypt. I heard, and she accepted the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And isn't she in the royal lineage of Jesus Christ?
She sure is, Tom. And when you have said that faith comes by hearing, not by sight, but by hearing, of course, you're quoting the scriptures. And when people see miracles, miracles foster unbelief. Throughout the entire Bible, Old and New Testament, almost always, the result of miracles on the people who see them and even on the people who benefit from them is that miracles foster unbelief. They tend to make people either reject God outright or their faith gets weaker. And Jesus points this out. The Bible points it out. Even if someone would rise from the dead, they will not believe, because if they do not hear the scriptures, they will not believe regardless of what they see. But this is the substantive teaching of the Word of God, which is mostly unknown, tragically, in the body of Christ.
Well, what I learned from you, and this was a biggie for me, because I used to sit around years when I was a baby Christian, I think, well, you know, if God came back and just appeared, you know, in the sky, everybody would get down on their hands and knees. And but you taught me that... you know, what a miracle does to a hard-hearted person is it hardens his heart more, because it shoves the truth of God in his face.
Right.
And proves him wrong.
Right.
And nobody likes to be proved wrong.
Yeah.
And so, for example, Pharaoh, each time that God did a miracle, it shoved the truth of Moses' God in his face. And and each time his heart just grew a little bit harder. And the Pharisees, you know, when he raised Lazarus from the dead, those Pharisees valued the temporal status that they had in Israel rather than the eternal salvation with God. Mm-hmm. And so their hearts immediately grew hard, and they made plans to kill Jesus.
Yeah, and so when God hardened Pharaoh's heart, it was not by putting some kind of a magic hardening dust into his, you know, chest cavity. It was by doing miracles. That's how the Bible shows. The Bible shows us how God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Each time, well, first of all, Pharaoh hardens his own heart. But then each time when God hardens Pharaoh's heart, it's merely by doing a miracle. And Pharaoh sees how great and mighty that God is, the God of Abraham, and it makes him angry because he wants to be in charge. He doesn't want to humble himself to his creator. So, Tom, we have a Bible teaching on miracles. We have it on a CD, audio disc, or people could download it. We also have it in a book. It's called The Plot, An Overview of the Bible. And as an introduction to the topic, we have it as an article on our website, kgov.com/miracles. And it is fascinating to look at. Could you recall the chart that we have on the distribution of miracles? How many miracles are in the different sections of the Bible? Do you remember that chart?
I don't remember it right offhand, but it's in your plot. And you know what I was amazed at is that you have the verse and the miracle, and then you have the people's reaction and response to the miracles.
Right.
And over 90% of the time, the response to God is negative.
It's just it should be obvious to us, if we've studied the Bible, that when God does miracles, it causes people to hate him all the more. Like all the miracles he did in Egypt, did the nation of Egypt repent? The answer is no.
Rahab heard about the miracles. They saw the miracles.
Right. The ones who saw the miracles, they didn't repent. The nation of the Israelites who experienced for their benefit the miracles, did they repent? And the Bible says explicitly that they died off in the wilderness in unbelief because they refused to trust God. They refused to love him and believe in him. And so those are the people.
They wanted to go back to Egypt.
And the people who saw Jesus' miracles, the people of Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum, that's where he did most of his mighty works, and they rejected him. So Jesus cursed them. Now, the chart I'm referring to, people could see that online, kgov.com/miracles, and it shows in the Law of the Prophets and the Writings, you could see in each of those sections how many miracles there are, and there were a lot. Then in the New Testament, the three sections, the Gospels, Acts, and the Epistles, a lot of miracles. By the time you get to the Epistles, there are no miracles that occur and that are reported there.
Yeah, Bob, I want to point out that there's in the Bible, there's only three verses that promise miracles or miracle healings, and all three are promised to Israel and not to the body of Christ. Like to read one quick in Mark 16:17-18. Jesus said that these signs will follow you, that those who believe, they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, and they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. But they very conveniently leave out a couple verses here. Jesus also said that you can take up serpents and you can drink poison, and it won't bother you. So I always tell people, if you think you're back in that first half of the book of Acts, come down here to my ranch and I'll let you step on a couple diamondbacks, a couple copperheads.
And Tom, of course,
water moccasins.
Yes, and of course, because God gave such signs to the Apostle Paul, because he was transitioning from the covenant of circumcision to the covenant of uncircumcision.
Exactly.
So this is so important. And in fact, well, Tom Healy, Tom, there's our closing music. Can you perhaps do another show with us so we could talk about It's Not Your Time and Salvation?
Yes, I can.
All right. Thank you so much, Tom. What an honor it is to be with you on the radio. This is Bob Benyart for KGOV, KGOV.com. May God bless you.